And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Bella from that campaign, Health Before Profits. G'day, Bella. Are you there? Hello,
awesome
Bella.
Good to be here.
Yeah, yeah, fabulous. Thanks for getting up in the morning on this grand final day. I'm sure that was really in the centre of your mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell our listeners about what's going on.
Yeah, so pretty much, the last week, especially this week, has been some, quite drastic developments in, Andrew's government and the kind of capitulation, I really think, to the, Liberal Party's drive to, recklessly reopen the economy and put profits before health, really. I think that Andrew's government, the recent reopening kind of map that was announced is a really dangerous plan. I think that it's, trying to normalise a level of infection and, hospitalisation and deaths in Australia that, quite frankly, we haven't seen, but we've, witnessed around the globe, the absolute, carnage that, kind of ensues as this virus is let rip through communities. I think that, we really do actually need to, build a fight of social solidarity with healthcare workers, in our unions, in our workplaces, everywhere, to actually oppose this reckless drive to reopen and really oppose, kind of push for, businesses to reopen, for profits to flow, because really, like, the bodies will pile high. And I think that, the healthcare systems will be absolutely overwhelmed. There will be mass deaths. And, I don't think anyone wants to see that, really.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? The way, for example, the way the National Cabinet, which is in Canberra, has obviously devised some sort of overall strategy that underlined by the concept of living with COVID, but it's not matched with large amounts of money being advertised going into public health.
Yeah, absolutely. I really think it does. Yeah, actually, it's just quite a testament to the interests of big business, the interests of our politicians and stuff. I mean, the healthcare system has been defunded for years and years, actually, before this pandemic, even started. And I think, after the first wave kind of, ripped through Melbourne and stuff in the 2020 lockdown, there was, a period of time where we should have actually been, putting money to the healthcare system. We should have been building up, the healthcare system stronger and stronger. And that actually didn't happen. Quite the contrary, actually, health and hospital services are, the most stretched, really, that they've actually ever been. There has been no expansion to healthcare, no expansion to, any of these mechanisms that we, I think, drastically, drastically need to, boost and expand. So it's quite, appalling, but not necessarily surprising, I think.
Actually, a healthcare worker I was speaking to the other day said, I was saying exactly what you were saying, that in actual fact, it's amazing to me that people don't seem to realise how hard the health workers are, and how stressful and anxiety creating this whole situation really is, like if you're up close to it. And she said to me, oh, well, they just don't care. Like they can talk fine words, but they just don't care. And it's quite interesting what you're saying. What you're really talking about is a proper solidarity response as opposed to privileging the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I kind of, work, with a lot of, healthcare workers in, activist spaces and stuff who, really do echo kind of, the sentiments of the healthcare worker that, you mentioned. It's actually just, the kind of whole, history of, I think, the virus really shows that, you know, adopting this whole thing of, you know, returning to, yeah, business as usual actually in fact means, you know, letting, yeah, the bodies pile high, or as Boris Johnson or whoever said, you know, and actually, yeah, letting, yeah, you know, people die, letting this virus rip if it means that the economy can, you know, continue to, yeah, somehow, you know, yeah, reopen and, you know, profits flow and stuff for the few, you know, at the upper echelons of society who benefit from it, but yeah, at the expense and detriment to, yeah, you know, healthcare workers, to working class as a whole, to students in schools who, you know, that's a massive area that the Andrews government wants to, yeah, reopen, I think, ahead of, yeah, VCE examinations or something. And, yeah, that is absolutely going to be a disaster, you know, with the kind of, yeah, you know, all, you know, lack of, like, air filters at school, you know, the, yeah, everything is essentially, yeah, being, yeah, decided completely, you know, without consideration for people's health. And I think that we actually have, you know, a responsibility as, yeah, everyone, you know, on the left, but I think as, you know, people more broadly, and, you know, as workers, as, you know, unionists and stuff, to actually build up a fight, a sustained fight that actually says, no, we actually have to put health before profits. And so that's actually, yeah, like why we set up this, yeah, campaign nationwide, but we also, of course, have, you know, statewide kind of divisions because of the various different, I guess, situations and stuff that various different states are in. And so, yeah, like I think, yeah, I just would really, really recommend, I guess, like anyone listening right now to, yeah, actually get involved with health before profits, because, yeah, I think that, you know, if you want to, yeah, be a part of an actual movement of social solidarity, if you want to be a part of the fight to, you know, put human lives before profit, this is absolutely the campaign that you must join. And we actually have an organising meeting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. on Zoom. If you just go to our, like, Facebook event, our Facebook page, sorry, Health Before Profits, Vic, it'll be advertised there. And, like, yeah, I mean, it would be awesome to just, you know, have a really, really huge, yeah, movement, you know, across, yeah, workplaces, students, you know, we have a lot of teachers in the AEU that are, yeah, passing great motions in their union, building up great fights, you know, to, yeah, stop the reckless drive to reopen. I think all of these, you know, yeah, people should really get involved in this campaign, because I think it's yeah, it's absolutely a show of, you know, what social solidarity actually looks like.
Thanks, Bella. I'll be there.
Yeah, awesome, cool. Oh, yeah, and I just wanted to give it also a quick shout-out to another campaign called, yeah, Campaign Against Racism and Fascism. I think that this week, you know, if you live in Melbourne, you may have, you know, been, yeah, kind of consumed with, you know, hearing sirens. If you're anywhere near the city, hearing sirens kind of, you know, blaring all day, and, yeah, hearing on the news and stuff that there are, yeah, thousands of, yeah, you know, anti-vaxxers and stuff, you know, anti-lockdowners mobilising on the streets. And not to say that, you know, every single one of those people are kind of hardened fascists or anything, but I think that there has been some prominent far-right and fascist figures like Avi Yemeni on the streets trying to kind of cohere more of a hardened, I guess, fascist section within the movement. And, yeah, so that has been, yeah, going on the street. And I think, you know, yeah, it is, yeah, pretty shocking to see. But, yeah, the Campaign Against Racism and Fascism, which, yeah, was established in 2015 just to, yeah, actually kick the, yeah, far right off the streets, and the, I think it was the, like, Reclaim Australia movement.
You always lose in Melbourne.
Pardon?
They always lose in Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we, you know, we could kick them off the streets in 2015, and, you know, we, yeah, they had to, I think, you know, go into the mountains and hold their rallies pretty much, yeah, isolated from the rest of society as they should. But yeah, so, you know, they have, yeah, there has been a resurgence of them with throughout this kind of pandemic, and the campaign against racism and fascism once again is, you know, pushing back and, you know, yeah, really leading the fight to, yeah, stand for, you know, like, health, safety, social solidarity, opposing the far right. So, yeah, that is a separate campaign to Health Before Profits, but I think rightly should be shouted out in anyone who...
Yeah. They've got a great slogan, which is pro-vax, pro-union, anti-fascist.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I think it really does encapsulate, like, the... yeah, really what, yeah, this, yeah, campaign is about. Like, you know, we have so many staunch unionists, like, actually leading, you know, the charge in the campaign against racism and fascism to actually really reclaim, like, the, you know, left-wing traditions that, you know, have really, yeah, been prominent throughout union movements, especially in Australia, you know? Like, we have such a brilliant, like, history of, you know, militant trade unionism, and that should be, you know... the history, and that should be the kind of, yeah, thing that is out, you know, on the streets, and that, you know, unions are known for, you know, not this kind of reactionary anti-vaccine, anti-lockdown kind of mobilisation.
And with a fascist undertow.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Bella.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.